Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. We're going to talk about Ashalqua this episode. Before I dive in, I wanted to just kind of reiterate that the things that we are covering right now on this show all come from an open content licensed book called The Gods of Porphyra. It's available for less than $10. You should get it. It's a really good one. You can get either the PDF for $8, or you can get the soft cover book for $9. Or you can get both for something like $16 or $17. It's well worth it, especially because its entire mission in life is to create an open content pantheon for everyone to be able to use without hesitation. And that's an exciting prospect to me. You can find this wonderful work on drivethroughrpg.com/product/102872. Okay, let's get into it. So, Ashalqua, Ashalqua. You tell me how to say it. Ashalqua. So, the Ashalqua is known as the Voice of Corruption, or the Dark Patron. He or she is known as the god or goddess of business, crime, and art. Its worshippers tend to be entertainers, gangsters, thugs, lawyers. The alignment of Ashalqua is lawful evil. The domains are animal, art, law, and trickery, with subdomains being the devil, feather, sound, and deception. Ashalqua's favored animal is the mockingbird. Here's the legend of Ashalqua, which are pretty muddy. It is said that Ashalqua was brought about by an experiment performed by a deranged wizard who was attempting to understand the nature of corruption. Alternately, it is said that Ashalqua was spawned by an evil dream so strong that it tore its way into reality. Others claim it was an attempt by the Hells to create a superior fiend, or a joke by a god of mischief long forgotten. The truth is lost to the sands of time. Ashalqua is equal parts devil, djinn, rakshasa, and dream. It is an ever-changing god form, known both to be female and male, whichever happens to be most advantageous to it at any given time. Ashalqua embodies seductive corruption, and it will take any form to make that happen. So you can imagine possibly a form that will promise you whatever it senses you desire, whether or not it plans to make good on that promise, of course, we can never know. Far from being about corruption and decay, however, Ashalqua is really about corruption and power. Ashalqua escaped what is known as the Great Purge, which was a culling of all the gods across all the dimensions, and Ashalqua slithered into Porphyra's reality by the way of the calling. This victory is sung about in a hymn called The Songs of Power. Now, it's interesting to me that Ashalqua is not considered a chaotic god or goddess. It is a lawful evil god form. So that's kind of interesting, given how chaotic the god form itself seems to be, a little bit surprising, but such is religion. Ashalqua's cult is small compared to most. The single purpose of the cult is to spread the Voice's brand of corruption. Its agents, which is the name that they prefer to call themselves rather than followers, are performance artists, politicians, lawyers, gangsters, and businessmen. They generally come to Ashalqua's service after cutting a deal with the Dark Patron for their heart's desire, normally something to do with fame, fortune, and power, only to find themselves usually under the thumb of this god form, and their soul is now the property of Ashalqua. Few come without coercion to the service of Ashalqua, but those who do become the dark clerics called Feathermen, for their touch is light. They act as dispatchers, helping other agents seek out the vulnerable, the ambitious, and others prone to the master's corrupting influence. A set-aside room beneath a theater, courthouse, or high council chambers is often marked with a red feather as a temple for its worship. A cleric, or agent, if we go by their own terminology, of Ashalqua would prepare spells the night prior. Rather than in the morning, they would do it the night before. They prepare spells according to the Songs of Power, which is a divinely inspired book of hymn and prayer that sets forth a strict and specific guideline on how one must literally sing to please the voice. The song is said to be like a mockingbird, beautiful but changeable, maybe too changeable. There are some traits coming along with this particular religion. There is the sound of corruption, in which Xalqua has given you an aspect of its voice. You gain a +1 trait bonus to one of the following, either diplomacy, intimidate, or perform in comedy, oratory, or singing. This skill is always a class skill for you. Gift of the Master Gambler, Xalqua has seen fit to give you the power of obfuscation, so you gain a +2 trait bonus on bluff checks whenever telling a lie. Xalqua is an intriguing, trickstery, con man type of god. It's lawful evil, so it doesn't really appeal to me all that much. That's not an alignment that I love, but I can appreciate what this is saying. I can appreciate that there's a god of deception that guides over, well, gamblers, con men, and lawyers of all things. It's kind of perfect. There's an interesting rivalry mentioned in passing in the text against Xalqua and Veloria. Veloria we'll explore later. She's a goddess of travelers, mostly adventurers, and she's neutral good, and one of her tenets is that you do no harm to a fellow traveler, and I imagine that is remarkably distasteful to Xalqua. And for whatever reason, maybe it's just that, or maybe there's more to the story that I don't know, but Ishalqua's agents despise the followers of Veloria and Veloria herself, and the two are in a constant, at least intellectual battle, if not physical battle, with one another. The favored weapon of the Xalqua god form is a switchblade knife, appropriately. So anything for deception, right? That's what I've got on Xalqua for you, so hopefully that was interesting and informative, or at least as informative as one could possibly expect in an episode about a malleable and ever-changing god form. Next, we're going to keep going down the lawful evil path and talk about Camus.